Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I am welcomed in once again by Steven Deaton. What's up, Debo?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I know it's been a hectic week, and so we are a day late recording, but you know what? We're going to make it, Steven.
Yep, we're going to get it done.
We're going to make it, and not only that, Steven, but this is going to be a quick episode, man.
It is. We got football to watch tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Who's playing tonight?
Who is playing tonight? I don't know.
Let's see real quick, Steven. It is the Seahawks Saints and the Cowboys.
Oh, Seahawks, Cowboys. See, I knew that.
Yeah, you know. And so Cowboys are going to... Man, I guarantee you Geno Smith is going to put up a QB3 performance.
Ain't no doubt about it.
QB3. Not QB3 overall. Third category.
QB3 category.
I mean, the good thing is he'll be QB2 in the week for at least like 3 days.
Absolutely, you know? He will.
All right, man. Let's get into this thing, Steven. So,
all right, dude.
Last week, we had a pretty busy week, man. Mm-hmm. We were not able to record because it was a Thanksgiving holiday. Okay?
That's true.
You texted me, you're like, hey, bro, you want to take a week off? And I was like, freak yeah, man. You know, yeah, let's relax. I think both of us were kind of getting ready for turkey, for dressing, for all the good stuff. And yep. So we sat back, man. But one important news that we ended up missing that we were not able to talk about is the Joe Burrow injury, man. This is something to where nobody wanted to see. If you were watching the game, you saw the throw where he tried to get rid of it against, who was it, Pittsburgh or Baltimore? It was Baltimore. Mm-hmm. To where he was on the sideline. You could tell something was going on with his wrist. He tried to throw the ball, and he just kind of crumpled. And right. I think the very next day it was announced that he was going to have season-ending surgery on his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. Because I know a lot of contenders out there who had Joe Burrow on their team. I know still a lot of contenders who are sitting on Joe Burrow on their bench. So yeah. My question for you, Steven, is this. As a contender, if you've got like a 3 seed right now locked in and you're ready to go, what in the world do you do with Joe Burrow? What kind of moves do you make?
I think if you're a 3 seed, locked in, looking good for the playoffs, and this happens with you, and Joe Burrow is your quarterback, I think you got to go find one, right? And I think you got to use Burrow as that bait to go find one. I had a guy in a league chat send me a DM, and he said, is Joe Burrow in a 24 first fair for Stroud and Kincaid? And my response was, yes, it is. It's fair.
Mm.
And he said, too much. And I said, no. So, Joe Burrow on a 24-1 fair for Stroud and Kincaid, BJ?
I mean, I think so, man. I think Burrow and Stroud have to be about even right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be close, right?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Steven. I heard two offers this past week that got rejected, okay? Burrow and a second for CJ Stroud straight up got rejected in both leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, man, if you're a contender and you've got Stroud, I mean, you're not trading that for Joe Burrow. Mm-mm. Even if there is a second on the other side, right? Because you don't want to be in the same situation they are.
No.
But on the flip side of that, I think quarterbacks that you can kind of down tier to, we've been saying by Kyler all year, man. You know? Mm-hmm. And so going from like, yeah, it's absolutely too late for that. But I think the Burrow owner, what you need to do, man, just be honest with you, you need to go talk to the rebuilder, you know? If the rebuilder's got a quarterback on his team and he can ship you a couple of players in that quarterback, go do that. Because I'm not going to lie to you, Steve. There's going to be a lot of playoff teams who are going to lose their contention, who are not going to win that championship because Burrow's just riding on their bench.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's a sad reality. I'm actually in one league right now where my starting quarterbacks, because of this, are now Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, and I want to vomit every time that I look at this league.
Completely vomit.
You know, man, it is what it is. But, you know, I think you live and you learn. I think this is where depth comes into play. And so, you know, it's fantasy football. Things like this are going to happen. On the flip side of that, if you are a rebuilder, go put out some feelers for Joe Burrow. He will be back next year, and he will be dominant just as he has been.
Right.
In other news, Steven, this past week, we saw the Los Angeles Rams completely smack the Arizona Cardinals by a final score of 37-14. I'll be honest with you, Steven. I did not expect Matthew Stafford to put up a 30-plus performance in fantasy football.
They smacked him.
Man, it was bad. He had a 4-touchdown day, Steven, 220 yards.
Yeah, crazy.
Kyler Murray was still good, 250 yards, a touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. But the thing that I think everybody was looking at, Steven, is the Rams running back, Kyren Williams, the guy who at the start of the season nobody was thinking of. People probably picked him up off of waivers. You know, he ended up being the running back one overall last week by rushing for 143 yards, catching 6 passes on 6 targets for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. I saw a couple of leagues with some bonuses that he had over 40 fantasy points last week. So my question for you, Steven, is this. How do you feel about Kyren Williams? What's your dynasty take on him? Are you bumping him up all the way top 20 right now in your dynasty rankings? Or is this just one of those, like, yeah, he had a good performance, whatever?
I don't know, man. He's a hard player to value. I mean, I think if you own him in Dynasty, it's hard, man. It's hard to say what you're really doing with him, because if it's a fluke and you don't capitalize on it, you're going to miss. And if you sell him too cheap and he winds up being a stud, you're going to miss. So what do you do? Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Yeah. It's a hard take, and I think it's just one of those that whatever you feel, however you feel about the player, then just go do whatever you feel is right in this moment. Me, personally, I'm probably selling. But I don't know that that's the right choice, BJ.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, man. I actually threw him on the trade block in a rebuild that I'm in where I picked him up off of waivers. And I'll tell you this, Steven, I'm not selling him cheap. You know, like if somebody comes to me with a late first right now, I mean, I don't know that I'm smashing that, you know.
Right.
Instead, I'm trying to get top dollar out of the guy. Yeah. I mean, to put up 35-plus fantasy points, I mean, you're going to have to
pay
up
a little
bit.
That's the right thing to do. Yeah, you know? I mean, you want to try to get top dollar out of all your players that you can, you know.
Absolutely. Speaking of some players who have not been playing top dollar, Steven, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, man, they've kind of fallen off a little bit, dude. I understand Cooper Kupp's been dealing with an injury, but, I mean, in a game where Matthew Stafford threw for 229 yards, you kind of expected at least Puka and Cooper Kupp to kind of come out there and, you know, get more than 27 receiving yards and 18 receiving yards.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Stephen. For the ones who were high on Puka, the ones who had him as a locked-in top 15 dynasty wide receiver, is this just one of those where it was just a rough week for him, or is this something to where there needs to be a little bit of concern?
If he's not healthy, if he's truly not healthy, I get it. I'm not real familiar. I mean, I know he's got some kind of injury and some ailments, I guess, if you will. But everybody does right now. You know, you got to kind of fight through that, right, at this point in the season. Again, it's another one of these hard things. I want to say, and I don't know how I really don't know how I really value Nacua. I want to say that it feels like it might be just kind of one of those kind of things, one of those weeks maybe, because he's been really good this year. Absolutely. For the most part. So I don't want to just poop on him right here and say he's really not what we thought he was, you know, but I think, you know, you could maybe have your radars up a little bit, right? Just kind of see what's going on and monitor the situation and see if he can bounce back.
Absolutely, man. It's something we've been talking about for weeks too, man. It looks like Cooper Kupp's kind of hit that wall. And I know we don't want to say that. We don't want to wish ill on the man. But I'll be honest with you, Steven. I know a lot of folks who are trying to sell him right now who they can't get anything out of him. And, you know, we hate to see that. We hate to see players who go from a wide receiver 1-2 overall last year to ending up being, what, like wide receiver. God, I understand he missed games and everything, but ends up being like, what, the wide receiver 40, 50 right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough to see.
Yeah, it is. It's over. It's over. I would be shocked if he has any kind of real relevant resurgence at this point.
Yeah, I'm not expecting 12-plus point games anymore. I mean, I'm happy to get 8-9 points out of the guy.
Absolutely.
On a more positive note, Steven, we had a fantastic, Lord, what was it? Was it Sunday night football or Monday night football when the Bills played the Eagles last week?
What night was that? I don't remember.
Dude, did you watch that game?
I did.
I'm telling you, it was fantastic, Steven. It was Sunday night. I remember going to church Sunday night, and one of my church members was like, dude, you need to tell your boy Jalen Hurts to actually pick it up. He looks terrible right now. Well, let me just start off by saying this. Jalen Hurts did pick it up, okay? He finished the game with 200 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 65 yards on the ground, and 2 touchdowns, which also included a walk-off 12-yard rush to win the game in overtime. Mm-hmm. Man, I thought that this shootout was an amazing game, to be honest with you. Let me ask you this, Stephen. I understand that Patrick Mahomes is probably your QB1 in your dynasty rankings, as he is most. Who's your QB2? Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts?
That's close, isn't it? Like, it feels like it's so close. It feels like whoever's playing better that week can get the QB2 ranking, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think I still got a roll with Allen, but man, Hurts is right there. Hurts is right there.
I get it, man. I think this has actually turned into a 2A, 2B. I mean, when you look at the stats, Steven, you've got Josh Allen QB1 overall in the year, and you've got Jalen Hurts QB2 overall in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so both offenses are clicking right now. I think we can both agree that Jalen Hurts probably has the better weapons as of right now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that he's putting the better fantasy performances, but also, you know, he's killing it. You can right. basically expect him to have at least one tush push touchdown every single week. Just and enough. I texted you last week, Steven, and before this game even happened, then I said, I think I'm ready to put Jalen Hurts ahead of Josh Allen in my rankings.
Yep.
I understand that I can say that because, I mean, my kid is named after the guy. Mm-hmm. But with this, I think that you can't go wrong with either quarterback. I was able to actually get me a Jalen Hurts share about 2 weeks ago, and I'm happy about it. The biggest thing that we need to see here is that we need to witness the greatness of these two quarterbacks right now. You know, Patrick Mahomes has been playing mediocre at best this year, you know, not really killing it, doing okay, you know, but Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts have been playing on a completely different level, man. And so I understand Allen has the turnovers, which you can kind of expect. I mean, he's kind of struggled with those throughout his years, but dude, I thought this game was one of the best games I've watched all season.
Yeah. I agree all with right. you. Oh, no, I was just saying I agree with you. I think Hurts is dominant and it was. It's one of the best games I've seen all season too. So
absolutely, man. Steven, on a more surprising note, man, we had a tight end come out last week
who had missed a breakout.
I think we can call it that, man, who has been struggling pretty much all year. He missed 4 or 5 games due to injury. His game that he returned, he had 1 fantasy point in a PPR league where he caught 1 pass for 7 yards. But this past week, man, Pat Freiermuth, the tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, came out. This was the week after they fired Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so first game with the new OC. And what do we see, Steven? We see Freiermuth get targeted 11 times against Cincinnati.
Yep.
And he ended up with 9 receptions and 120 yards, Steven.
Yep.
Nobody expected this, man. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
If you're
no.
plugging Pat Freiermuth in your lineup, you're probably struggling, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, but you're not expecting Travis Kelce numbers out of the guy. No. I'm looking at a schedule right now, Steven. He's got Arizona coming up, which Arizona's been known to kind of struggle against the tight ends. Then he faces a tough New England defense. But then after that, he's in Indianapolis. And then guess who he plays again? Cincinnati, semifinal championship week. And yeah. So my thing is, Stephen, I know people were kind of pooping on Pat Freiermuth. You know, they were mm-hmm. saying that, you know, he's no better than a top 15, top 18 tight end. And I get that, you know. But my thing is, with a performance like this, man, I mean, can we expect this going forward? Or is this a fluke, Stephen?
I don't think you can expect this going forward. It's just a big, that's a really high bar, you know. I mean,
oh yeah.
Let's just be honest. I think, you know, I mean, if you're looking at his numbers on the year, BJ, I mean, 18 receptions for 180 yards on the year, and 9 of that and 120 came last week, you know. So it's ugly. It's ugly, you know, right now for Pat. But there is some hope here that, hey, this guy can be good if he's used in the right way. So hopefully for Pat Freiermuth owners, they'll use him in the right way. And the right way looks like 9 receptions, 120 yards each week, right? And I don't think you can expect that each week. But if they're going to use him in this capacity, I think you can safely say 5 receptions, 50, 60 yards and hope for that touchdown right now, I think that's a safe – that might can be a safe thing is if this is how they're going to use him.
Absolutely, man. And it's nice to see this type of performance from Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
Because I think people's been kind of holding on to him for 2 years, 3 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
And have not seen this type of production.
Sell
and
high.
So, man, sell high. I love it. I love it. All right, man. Steven, you want to run through these injuries real quick, man?
Yeah, man. We'll run through these injuries real quick, man. We talked about Dorian Thompson Robinson. He's in concussion protocol, questionable for week 13. There is a chance that good old Joe Flacco could start for the Browns this week. BJ, you picking up Joe anywhere?
Steven, I don't know if you saw the waivers, man. I picked him up in a rebuild that I have. But the only reason I'm doing it is the fill spot. So, no, I'm not.
No, absolutely not. Amari Cooper, rib injury is questionable. He didn't practice today. Said rest, but he is nonetheless still questionable with a rib injury. Chris Olave, concussion protocol, questionable. I don't look for him to play this week. Rashid Shaheed, quad injury, expected to be out. Saints are down to nothing on the offensive end. I mean, Michael Thomas is out on IR. Olave's not going to play. Shaheed's not going to play. If Juwan Johnson is on your
waiver,
pick that man up because ain't nobody else to throw the ball to. Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, they're going to put up at least 15, 20 points.
Taysom and
week,
Alvin,
man.
They'll be great plays this week. But Juwan Johnson's kind of a sleeper if he's on your, obviously Alvin Kamara is not on your waiver. So, and, Taysom Hill probably shouldn't be at this point. But if Juwan Johnson's out there, he might be worth a look to pick up, if you need a stream of tight end this week. Aaron Rodgers, man, he's set to practice, BJ. It's crazy. They said him to return. He's awaiting a doctor clearance and he's eyeing a week 16 return. Isn't that nuts? Is he coming back this year?
That's crazy, man. I read a report this past week after we typed the show docs in that said it really kind of depends on what the doctors say as well as if the Jets are in playoff contention. So I want to say probably not, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. Would it be awesome to see? Akers? Cool. Cam Akers tore his Achilles in training camp.
5 months,
was
I
that?
Think. Five months.
Yeah, man, this would be a three-month timetable, Steven.
What's worse? What's the more stressful position? Reckon. I mean, I really don't know. Is it quarterback or is it running back? Like I feel you. I mean, it's a sport, right? And you have to push off in both positions.
Both positions.
So it's one of those things. Like, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I think obviously the Jets are going to have to win. I mean, they're going to have to win some games without him in the next couple of weeks. And speaking of the Jets, real quick before we move on, can we just all agree that even though Zach Wilson is not the next coming of Joe Montana or anything, it's not his fault. Like, this whole thing is not his fault, right? I mean, did you see them play? Did you see them this past week?
It was terrible.
It's awful. They suck so bad.
I'll tell you what, man, the Hail Mary for the interception pick six was one of the funniest plays I've seen in a long time.
I know, man. Only the Jets. Only
I'll say this, though,
Jets.
Steven. Give me Aaron Rodgers on one leg rather than Tim Boyle on two.
Yeah, no doubt.
But man, I'll tell you, it was a good week of football, Steven. Not a great night or day for the New York Jets.
Right.
Moving into our sneaky flex play, Steven. I don't know if you saw this or not, man, but I actually had a show dot topped up last week, and my sneaky flex play was Kyren Williams.
Okay? I don't believe you. I didn't see it.
I got the receipts, Steven. I got the screenshots. it's not like I added it.
You just
in there
typed it up yesterday, man.
It is what it is. This week, I'm calling my shot again, Steven. In Dynasty, you got to watch the trends, man. Okay. When players are projecting and they are killing it the last couple of weeks, start noticing that. Okay. When players start declining, start noticing that. And so my sneaky flex play this week is a rookie wide receiver who has been killing it the past 2 to 3 weeks, Steven. And that is the Green Bay Packers wide receiver, Jaden Reed. Currently sitting at wide receiver 33 on the year. Reed fits perfectly into the parameters we're looking for in a sneaky flex play. Over the course of the last 3 weeks, Reed has begun to demand targets from Jordan Love. He's been averaging 6 targets per game, Steven. And the floor has been scheming him to even get carries week by week. In his last 3 weeks, Reed has put up wide receiver 1 numbers twice and wide receiver 2 numbers once. He plays a tough Kansas City secondary this week that is currently 4th against the pass. But simply put, Green Bay is going to have to air it out to keep up. And not only that, but there's a chance that Aaron Jones could end up missing this game. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, plug Reed into your flex position. I know that it's gross. I know that nobody likes throwing, you know, rookie wide receivers in there that's not named Lord, whoever, you know. But right. Do this, plug them in, watch them put up 10-plus PPR points for you.
Yeah, Reed's been – he's been good, and he does fit into this flex play mold, BJ. And you have been killing the flex plays, BJ. You have been killing them, so I'm going to go with you here. I'm going to roll with you. I like it. I've actually got Reed plugged into a couple of my lineups, to be honest with you, so I like it a lot.
I like it, Steven. Look at you, man. All right, guys. As we are nearing through fantasy playoffs, we know that trade deadlines are coming up. And you can have whatever thoughts you want to about trade deadlines and dynasty leagues, whatever. But we know they're approaching, okay? And so what we wanted to do to close out the show today is we've come up with three playoff contender buys. If you are trying to make that final push and you are just trying to kind of get yourself over the hump, okay, we have three players for you to just go put some feelers out for. Go see what kind of offers you can get done. And just see, man. The first player I want to highlight today, Steven, I want you to tell me how you feel about this guy, okay? I got a running back to where the rest of his season, the rest of his games, okay, according to MFL, the opposing rushing ranks, Steven, are 27th, 20th, faces a tough 7th ranking here in week 15, but then comes semifinal and championship week, 25th against the run, 29th against the run. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he plays the Packers, Buffalo, the Patriots, the Raiders, then the Bengals championship week. Mm-hmm. This player just came off a dominant performance for him in fantasy. Okay. He only rushed for 55 yards, but the big thing is he had two rushing touchdowns. He had 5 targets last week for 5 receptions and 34 yards, and he ended up putting up over 25 fantasy points. And this player is Isaiah Pacheco, okay? I know a lot of teams who are stuck in the middle ground, even some rebuilding teams who are trying to sell him. Steven, I know me and you both know a player right now who is trying to sell Isaiah Pacheco, who's a rebuilder. Mm-hmm. My thing is, if you're trying to make that push, man, I say go make an offer. I think that Pacheco can end up being a plug-and-play running back 2 on your team with running back 1 upside, okay? And so I say go put some feelers out there. Go make some offers.
Yeah, I like this a lot as a playoff contender buy, and I think you could, you know, I don't know how quote unquote cheap you could get him, but I think you could get him at a reasonable price, especially for somebody who's, you know, rebuilding, right? And yep. And you know, again, like, you know, I heard you say, you know, you need to get top dollar for your guy. You do. You need to get top dollar for what, you know, they are quote unquote worth. What's Isaiah Pacheco worth to a contending team compared to a rebuilding team, right? So
absolutely.
What he's worth to you may not be what he's worth to the other. And so maybe you need to meet in the middle. Maybe you need to take what he's worth to you, right? And even though you feel like, well, man, if I was contending, man, he'd be worth a lot more on a contending. Well, that may be true, mm-hmm. but what's he doing for you on your team yep. that's 3-8 right now or whatever, you know? So again, evaluate. Put some feelers out. If you're a rebuilder, put some feelers out for an Isaiah Pacheco. See if you can get some bites. If you're a contender and you need a running back, Isaiah Pacheco, go buy him.
Yep. I think you can actually buy him for a late first right now, Steven, pretty
yeah.
easily.
Yeah.
My next wide receiver position, Steven, is Courtland Sutton. Gross. Russell Wilson, right? However, Courtland Sutton right now has actually been putting up decent wide receiver 2 numbers, Steven. Last week, he only put 9.1 PPR points up against a tough Cleveland defense. But the weeks prior, he had 16 points, 18 points, 10 points, 19 points, 14 points. And then his matchups the rest of the way, Steven, he plays the Chargers, who are 32nd ranked against the pass, Detroit, who is 20th ranked against the pass, the Patriots, who are 16th ranked against the pass, the Chargers again, 32nd, and then he finishes up with the Raiders, which is the 13th ranked passing team. Russell Wilson's been a sneaky good quarterback this year, and I don't think people have really liked to talk about that. But Courtland Sutton is obviously his favorite target right now. Jerry Jeudy has been playing okay. But Courtland Sutton's the man. And so I think if you can go out there and buy a gross Courtland Sutton, I think you go do it.
Here's the thing about Sutton. He is a touchdown machine. He has eight this year. Eight already. You know,
ridiculous.
Eight touchdowns. And he's had a touchdown in 5 of the last 6 games and 6 of the last 7. So it's just one of those things. He's a touchdown machine for Russell Wilson. And although the stats just don't jump off the charts at you, when you can score that touchdown, it salvages any kind of fantasy day most of the time. And so, yeah, put a feeler out if you're a contender. This is a guy you can get cheap. This is a guy that you can get cheap as a contender for if you need a flex play, if you need a wide receiver 3 type guy. This is a guy you can go get. And you can feel pretty good about plugging him in there around your flex player, wide receiver 3 position, I think.
All right, Steve, let's talk about one of the worst offenses in the NFL, the New England Patriots. Nobody wants to go buy a player for the New England Patriots.
No.
But I'm going to highlight one of the few bright points on that team, which is running back Ramon. Oh, man. You can't do me like that whenever I'm getting ready to say my stuff, Steven.
Sorry.
Man, go buy Ramondre Stevenson. Okay, there are probably a lot of mediocre teams out there who have Stevenson that would actually be willing to move him to a contender. I mean, like I said, nobody wants a player from the Patriots right now. Stevenson just came off of a 21.7 game against the Giants. I understand it's the Giants. But before that, he had 13 points against Indianapolis, 22 points against Washington. His playoff matchups coming up, Steven, is Pittsburgh, which is ranked 22nd. Excuse me, after the Chargers this week, which are ranked 14th against the run, then Pittsburgh, then Kansas City that are ranked 19th against the run, but then semifinal week he has Denver. Everybody knows everybody can run against Denver, which is 32nd ranked against the run. And so with this man, Mac Jones, Bailey Zappe, who are literally the same person, they look exactly the same, they play exactly the same, they are going to give the ball to Ramondre Stevenson, and they're also going to pass the ball to Ramondre Stevenson. In his past 4 games, he has been averaging 5 to 6 targets per game, Steven. And so with this, I'm saying put you out a cheap offer, see if you can get Stevenson.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Stevenson fan coming into the year. I'm not a huge fan now. But as far as bright spots on an offense, that offense is so bad. And you're right, this is the one lone bright spot on that offense. 20 attempts November 12th against the Colts. They had a bye week. And then this past week, November 26th, 21 attempts against the Giants. And then if you go back to November the 5th, which is early November, he had 9 attempts, but for 87 yards, 9.7 average. So the past 3 games, 87 rushing yards, 88 rushing yards, 98 rushing yards, and he found the end zone 2 out of 3 times. And, you know, as far as those games go, once against the Commanders, once against the Giants. And then, as you said, he's still catching the ball, 4 receptions against the Commanders, 3 receptions against the Colts, and then 5 receptions against the Giants this past week, like as you said. So, again, as a guy that you might could go get fairly cheap, I think, still at this point, just with that whole situation and that team and the uncertainty. I don't know, you know, is he more or is Pacheco more? Who's more valuable?
I think Pacheco's more enticing.
Yeah, Pacheco's more enticing. I know
he's probably cheaper.
Right?
He's probably cheaper. You can probably sell Pacheco for a little bit more.
Yeah, I think he is cheaper. It's just he's more enticing because of that offense, right? I mean, it's cheap. So as far as that goes, but I would put a filler out for Stevenson if you're a contender and maybe that owner is not, obviously. So yeah, I like it.
Absolutely, man. So look, man, we're just gonna wrap this thing up, give y'all a quick episode. The biggest thing we wanted to leave you guys with is this: it's playoff time. Okay, get your stuff together, make a playoff push if you're trying to get into the playoffs. If you're not, get you some assets that you can liquefy to where you can be a better dynasty team next year. Okay. And so we want to take this time, thank our listeners. We want to thank y'all for the support y'all give us each and every day. Go follow us on X. My handle is at AfroDynamics116. Stevens is at SDeaton24. The pods is at LOL Dynasty Pod. Steven, you got anything else you want to leave them with, man?
Man, no. Y'all go win your playoff matchups. Here to come up here in a few weeks and make the moves to do so.
Absolutely, man. Y'all go leave a legacy. See ya.